Tonight on CBS News Bay Area, more bad news for 49ers fans after yesterday's tough loss. We've learned it could be a lasting loss. As far as Brock Purdy is concerned, how long the rising star could be sidelined by his injury. An ugly truth exposed by last week's mass shooting in Half Moon Bay, the push to improve living conditions for the people who pick our food.
We're hoping that this extra spotlight make the city and the county move a little faster.
And for most of us, the Bay Area cold snap is a minor inconvenience, but for people with nowhere to stay, a few degrees difference could be the difference between life and death.
It's depressing. It's difficult not having any shelter, period.
This is CBS News Bay Area with Juliet Goodrich.
Good evening. The 49er faithful still trying to recover, as are we, from the heartbreaking loss to the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC Championship. Nearly all hopes for a win dashed in the first quarter after quarterback Brock Purdy took quite a hard hit, injuring his elbow. And today, the news went from bad to worse. Simply heartbreaking. Charlie Walter joins us now with more on the severity of the injury and how it really could have big implications for next year.
Season's been over for, 27, 28 hours? And, yes, we are already asking the question, who will be the starting quarterback next season? Brock Purdy expected to be sidelined for 6 months after injuring his right elbow yesterday. Purdy missed most of the game after tearing a ligament in his elbow. Purdy did return in the second half, only because backup Josh Johnson also got injured. Unfortunately, Purdy was unable to throw anything more than just a little screen pass.
My arm just felt like it stretched out. Just felt like really a lot of just shocks all over from my elbow down to my wrist, front and back. I couldn't throw anything probably over 10 yards, 5 yards.
Purdy is expected to undergo surgery. A six-month timeline means Purdy would miss the entire offseason program and the start of training camp. It would also open the door for Trey Lance to reclaim the starting job. One problem, Lance is still rehabbing from a broken ankle. Jimmy Garoppolo is now a free agent, but you can never count Garoppolo out, apparently. Or they could look to bring someone in from the outside, like a certain seven-time Super Bowl champ from San Mateo, who will also be a free agent. The list of possibilities, the pocket of possibilities, as we call it, unlimited right now for the San Francisco 49ers in terms of who will be their quarterback next season. It's not a horrible problem to have because you do have a couple guys there that are ready to step in, but fortunately they're injured in the offseason. It's an important time for development.
Yeah, let's get them off that injury list and let them recoup. All right, Charlie, thank you. Tough loss there. Live look now, though, outside at the Golden Gate Bridge, where drivers probably have the heat on heading into another cold night. First Alert Chief Meteorologist Paul Hagan is tracking the temperatures for us. Paul.
Yeah, it was a cold start this morning. It's going to be another cold start tomorrow morning with low temperatures Tuesday running around 10 degrees below average, which is cold. It's near or even below freezing for inland parts of the Bay Area. But this is the kind of cold snap that we get two or three times every winter. That 30 degree low temperature in Santa Rosa, yes, it's 2 degrees below freezing, but it wouldn't even be in the top 50 coldest mornings in Santa Rosa in the last 5 years. This is something that happens on a fairly regular basis. It's late January. It's a cold time of year, and we're going to be safely above record territory to begin the day tomorrow. Closest will be is in San Francisco, just below 40 degrees, while the record is 37. Otherwise, the records are going to be out of reach, which is a good thing because some of those record low temperatures are really frigid. Low 20s in Santa Rosa and Livermore is within the realm of possibility this time of year, but we are not going to be that cold tomorrow morning. Just throw another blanket on the bed and make sure if you have outdoor animals, they have a warm place to snuggle up for the night. Maybe make those outdoor pets indoor pets for a night or two. We also have a chance of rain that we're tracking later on this week. I'll talk about that coming up in just a few minutes.
All right, a lot going on. Thank you so much. Tonight, Santa Clara County scrambling, though, to protect its most vulnerable residents from the cold. Our Devin Feely has more on the effort to get people out of encampments and into shelters.
For most of us, when it gets really cold outside, it becomes a matter of some inconvenience. But when you're living out on the street, it might just be a matter of life and death.
There's homeless people out here in the cold, and they froze to death.
When the margin of survival is the thin membrane of a tent and a few ragged blankets, every degree the temperature drops makes a big difference. Just ask Brayman Washington, who's been homeless off and on for the past 25 years.
It feels pretty horrible, and it's depressing. It's difficult not having any shelter, period. Due to the extreme weather that, you know, we have out here.
Santa Clara County has activated its emergency cold weather plan, opening warming centers at libraries countywide during the day and adding additional shelter beds to the roughly 2,500 beds available each night. The goal is to get as many people as possible out of the cold and into shelter.
They're living under, you know, tents that are tattered. They're living under tarps. They're right on the riverbed. You know, they might have a cold or pneumonia, or they might even have COVID. And so, again, it's going to be a challenge. It's always been a challenge.
Pastor Scott Wagers passed out warm clothes and blankets at a homeless encampment near downtown San Jose. A bit of added insurance, he says, against the cold. Brayman recently got housed, but fears for his friends facing bone-chilling temperatures on the street.
It's horrible. You know what I mean? It's unhealthy for the self, for yourself. And that's why we have these warming centers.
A spokesperson for the county says the plan is to make those emergency extra shelter beds available through the end of the week. But the fundamental math hasn't changed. There are still far too many people living out on the street in comparison to the available beds.
Devin, thank you. Family and friends, they're gathered in Sacramento right now to remember Tyre Nichols. A candlelight vigil is being held at a Regency Park area where the Sacramento native spent many hours skateboarding with his friends and making so many memories.
The one thing about Tyre that I'm sure all of us can agree on is that he just had this like overwhelming like urge to just make everyone else around him smile. You know, he was always so goofy. Always just had, you never knew what was going to come out of his mouth.
Nichols died 3 days after he was brutally beaten during a January 7th traffic stop in Memphis. Five police officers have already been fired and charged with murdering him. And today, two EMTs, a fire department lieutenant, and a sixth Memphis police officer were also let go. It is unclear if any of them will face charges, but there's a push for a new bill called Tyre's Law that would punish officers who fail to intervene when they witness laws being broken. The Nichols family attorney said in a statement, quote, "We have to make it official. We have to make it documented. We have to put it on the books. Police officers, you have a duty to intervene when you see a crime being committed." And today marks 1 week since a gunman opened fire at two mushroom farms in Half Moon Bay, killing seven workers. Now, the tragedy has exposed a big issue now that not often was talked about in the past, the poor living conditions for these farm workers. So the governor even describing some of their living quarters last week as shipping containers. Well, today, one of the farms involved in the shooting, California Terra Garden, vowed to change that, promising to build new permanent homes for workers and their families. The project is expected to take about a year. But as our Kelsey Thord reports, building affordable housing in a coastal community is much easier said than done.
The plan is to do a four-story building that, again, will be social services on the first level, other services, other programs for the farm workers, and housing.
Vice Mayor Joaquin Jimenez is leading the charge to build more affordable housing in Half Moon Bay.
The plan is to build 40 units.
Jimenez says a project to turn this old home owned by the city into an apartment building has been in the works for months. But after last week's shooting, many are calling for the project to be expedited.
We're hoping that this extra spotlight on the how about the Hmong community and how they live will maybe make the city and the county move a little faster.
These photos, tweeted out by San Mateo County Supervisor Ray Muller, show some of the conditions the victims were living in. Jimenez told me he was not surprised by the pictures. He's been trying to highlight this issue for years.
The rents in Half Moon Bay are very expensive, and there's not a lot of housing available.
But to build affordable housing, it costs money. Jimenez says the 40-unit building already in the works is expected to cost $34 million. And that's just one of many apartments Jimenez says need to be built.
We know it takes time about the permits, you know, like the Coastal Commission. They need to understand that we are in need of building farm worker housing.
Jimenez told me they are also looking to purchase a plot of land that is currently owned by the local Catholic Church. He says when it comes to the 40-unit plan already underway, they are still looking to get full funding for that project. He says anyone who would like to donate can contact the local nonprofit, LAS.